The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, February is Esophageal Awareness Month, and despite Ireland being recognised internationally for excellence in the clinical management of esophageal cancer, nearly 70% of the respondents to a survey say they would not be confident of recognising the early warning signs of that cancer. Professor John Reynolds is National Lead on Esophageal Cancer, and he's with me now in studio to talk about the importance of early diagnosis and perhaps how you can help fundraise an initiative which is ongoing and getting us to the point where we can diagnose and hopefully treat this particular cancer. Professor John Reynolds, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.
Now, let's talk about the condition itself. Hard to diagnose and often unnoticed until it's too late.
That's right. And so it's one of a number of more difficult to cure cancers that are difficult to cure because they often present late. So they present often at stage four, or there's something inherent within their biology that makes them more difficult to treat. And so, certainly, so the work will be on to try and have less stage four and much more stage one or stage two.
So if you're talking about early detection, that means looking for potential symptoms. Are they so hard to spot, yeah?
Well, not one isn't. And the classical symptom that is really core to the awareness from Lollipop Day and the Esophageal Cancer Fund from its origins 25 years ago is difficulty swallowing. So if you have difficulty swallowing, that's there and progresses, doesn't go away for solid food initially. It's so easy to wish it away or even not discuss it with a partner, but that is a red flag symptom and needs urgent
attention. And is it a very apparent difficulty to swallow?
It is a very apparent difficulty that doesn't go away. It persists and progresses. So that is the...
Because people will have a sore throat from time to time and think, I can't swallow very well.
And occasionally an apple or a lump of meat might stick and then go on and that's it. That's not what we're talking about. Something that's progressive. But that is red flag. That is urgent.
Okay.
That is urgent.
Other symptoms that people might have?
Other symptoms can be, you know, weight loss and anemia, which is a sign. But I think the big emphasis is on early diagnosis.
Yeah, because that would be later. You're losing weight at a later stage.
Yeah. So really the big focus is, and the focus links in with esophageal health, and so many people everywhere in the Western world have problems with their esophageal health. Reflux is very common.
Now reflux, I don't think I suffer from it. So, I when people talk, it's like heartburn. I've never had heartburn. I don't know what it is. So, explain what reflux is.
Reflux is usually heartburn or food coming back up or acid coming back up. It may disturb your sleep. Stuff might come back from your stomach into your mouth, maybe coughing.
Is it regular?
It is regular, the research shows, and all the international research shows, in up to 20% of our population.
No, but I'm it saying if you have it, do you keep having it? Could you have an episode of reflux and then it's
you
gone?
You can. So that 70% includes people who might have one episode a month or whatever, and it's nothing. They are the unworried, nothing to worry about, and not so unwell. So really the focus is on the unworried who are unwell. They have bad reflux. They have bad heartburn. They've never been to their GP, or they've been to the GP and they're on repeated prescriptions for these anti-acid drugs. They need an endoscopy, which is the camera test. And if you're doing an endoscopy in that context, you are looking for a condition called Barrett's esophagus, where the lining of the lower part of the esophagus has changed from what it normally is to something that actually helps reduce the sensation of reflux. But unfortunately, and this is unusual in nature, it has an associated cancer risk.
Okay.
And that's what the focus of a lot of the research has been that has been funded by the Esophageal Cancer Fund. And we are seeing significant benefits.
Now, when you put the endoscope down,
is
it very easy to spot these changes?
Yes, it is. And once you see it, the obligation then is to do a detailed analysis of that, take multiple samples of that. So, and you see that in about 10% of patients who have a scope, who have reflux, you will see those changes. In another 20%, you will just see the burn of acid reflux. And that needs to be seen because they need a special prescription and higher doses of drugs.
Okay, so this may not be precancerous for them,
no,
but still can be treated.
It's it's a burn and it's sore and it's inflammation and bad inflammation and it needs to be treated, but treated in a slightly different way. So 70% won't have anything. So the plea is for those that are really suffering is to no threshold at all for CGP, no threshold at all for a scope, because really, if we identify Barrett's esophagus, we have identified a population of patients, and we know there's probably about 30,000 in Ireland. There may be 300,000 patients who have people who have weekly reflux, but there's about 30,000 with Barrett's. And if we identify them, we can keep an eye on them. Very few of them will have anything to worry about from the initial scope, sure. But they need follow-up.
Now, when you go down with the scope, does it have something that can take a sample at the same time, or is that a separate procedure?
No, it's multiple samples have to be taken to get a representative sample of that area to make sure the cells are
and
safe.
Does that same endoscope do the whole job?
It does it all. Yeah, no, it does it all.
Now, I was reading about a new technique whereby you swallow something as if you were eating something, and there's a little suture attached. Explain what this technique
is. That's right. It's called a cytosponge, and it's been developed by our colleagues in the University of Cambridge. And it's very compelling in that it's well tolerated by patients. It can be done in GP practices or in mobile units. And what it is a small tablet-sized pill coated in gelatin. It's passed into the stomach. There's a string or a suture that's coming out the mouth or whatever. And in the stomach, it's dissolved within a few minutes. And within it is a polyurethane sponge, which expands. And then that's slowly withdrawn from the stomach through the esophagus and into the mouth.
And it's taking samples.
It's taken cell samples as it comes out. And there is a very specific marker, a protein marker, within that that's picked up. And what's been shown from the last trial of about 10,000 patients in the UK in general practices there is that 10 times more patients with Barrett's esophagus are picked up than the usual practice. So the pickup of something that's a warning sign, a potential warning sign for the future development of something, or even an early sign that something has already developed. It's a little bit like the bowel screening, sure, in that it's selecting out a population of patients. And if you can use something much simpler and relatively non-invasive.
So the patients don't complain about it.
They don't complain, but the costs of that as well would be significantly reduced. And it's also, not every patient who has Barrett's esophagus has reflux. And so in terms of screening and a broader population, and American guidelines, Pat, if I could for a second, would include amongst those that they feel should be screened based on the risk of this cancer would be men in particular over 50, obesity, particularly obese men, 40-inch waists or above, smokers or ex-smokers, and people who have a family history of Barrett's esophagus or this type of esophageal cancer. So targeting all of that, funded by the research that Lollipop Day has provided for us, we are actually seeing in Ireland an increasing number of patients who will have cancer prevention because once the cell changes are diagnosed that are heading in the direction of cancer, they can be got rid of, or an early cancer, if it's seen, can be treated without the need for anything major or invasive.
Now, the question of acid reflux being a cause, it certainly accompanies this cancer. Uh-huh. If it's a cause, I was looking at something online recently. It was like the insertion of a kind of a valve in the stomach that stops the acid getting up in the first place.
Yeah, it's not that compelling. It's at an early stage, so that would be doing it through the scope and creating a kind of an anti-reflux mechanism. Some patients, particularly patients who have high volume regurgitation and reflux, actually do need surgery and need keyhole surgery to control what's called a hiatus hernia. But that would be a relatively small percentage.
As some of the texts coming in, my brother had esophageal cancer, passed away last year. Is there a family link and is screening recommended if available?
In the sense of one, it might just be one endoscopy at some point, particularly around that age. But yes, there's no gene identified, so it's not definitely genetic. But who knows? but there is a there can be a family association. So yes is the answer.
How often should people with Barrett's esophagus be tested once diagnosed?
Every 3 years is the usual for where the Barrett's is calm and the cells are fine. If the cells are not fine and they're progressing to something that has a much higher risk of cancer, then it might be every 6 months to a year.
And Bob in Blanchardstown says, I'm waiting 2 years for an endoscopy.
It is a problem, but I think categorizing those that need endoscopy based on these recommendations for screening, where there's no population screening funded, is probably something very important we need to take on. Mm. But if these cytosponge techniques work, and it's been tested in 120,000 patient study in the UK. If that's shown to work, then that'll become commonplace, I think.
I had a gastroscopy lately and a real bad episode of acid up to the throat. They found a bacterial infection in my stomach. Would they have examined my throat on the way down?
Yes, they would have. And the bacterial infection is Helicobacter pylori. That's not directly associated with reflux, but it's not a good thing to have. If it's found, then it's usually treated with antibiotics and some antacid.
I'm in my early 30s. I've had severe reflux and diagnosed hiatal hernia, but my high-dose tablets are now causing osteopenia. So I've been advised to lower my dose of Zoton, but struggling to manage the symptoms. Sick of being fobbed off to just take a Gaviscon or a Rennie. It ruins my day-to-day life when not managed. Probiotics really help me manage the symptoms.
Interestingly, well, there is some association between how the inflammation and the refluxate and in the stomach connects with the microbiome. But there's no great science on that. But many patients have told me that anecdotally, that they get some benefit.
Another one quite interesting. Mark says, I used to have reflux quite a lot. I cut down on gluten, not totally. The reflux went away.
Great.
Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows? I have heartburn since I was a teenager. It's usually food related. Should I be concerned? Also, is there screening for esophageal cancer? That's from Carmel.
There's no screening, but there's international consensus recommendations of selective screening on those populations of patients, particularly men over 50 with reflux and so on.
Professor Reynolds, what a great man, so professional and kind. He saved my dad's life when he ruptured his esophagus years ago and looked after him so well when he was diagnosed with esophageal cancer later in life. So take a bow
very
there.
Very kind, thank you.
Have you seen any research, this is a question, on GLP-1, the weight loss jabs, to treat reflux and other stomach issues? I started on it a year ago to see if it would deal with any of my symptoms, and they virtually stopped after 20 years. Is this just a coincidence?
Oh, well, the interesting thing, the connection between weight loss jabs and weight and reflux is interesting.
Yeah.
And weight, obesity is one of the risk factors for this type of esophageal cancer.
Mind you, you're not hungry when you're on the weight loss jab, so if you're not, nothing to reflux maybe.
You're not, but when somebody has surgery, just again, a side comment, but when somebody has major surgery for more, you know, advanced stage esophageal cancer, they like have a much more exaggerated GLP-1 response in their body, so they're not hungry. They lose weight. We don't want them to lose that much weight, but they can lose a phenomenal amount of weight, and it's GLP-1 related. And also in the increasing world of bariatric surgery and morbid obesity and so on, and metabolic ill health associated with that, whether somebody has significant reflux in their history, and even if they don't, the assessment of whether they have Barrett's esophagus or any damage or significant hiatus hernia is really increasingly part of the normal workup for that population of patients, because it determines the optimal treatment for a particular patient.
Now, you mentioned fundraising and the Esophageal Cancer Fund, which has been going for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
The kind of work it does, and how does Lollipop Day work?
Okay, well, congratulations. Noel Ryan founded it 25 years. What it works most for is this. It's awareness this month. And this is a great opportunity. And thank you. And there'll be more throughout the month. They are fantastic at working with patients who have had treatments for esophageal cancer and bringing them together with the clinicians and scientists who look after them in patients in those support meetings. And finally, what they have done with quite a bit of their funding is invested in Barrett's esophagus research and Barrett's esophagus registration. So we have 10,000 patients registered with Barrett's esophagus in our program. And of those, we have at least 800 who've had treatment for a early malignant disease or something that's on its way to being malignant that avoided an operation, was done easily through the modern way it's done. And for many of those patients, and they're cured, and there's been no cancer-related death. So it's a proof of how research funding like that in a very targeted way, prevention, early diagnosis, more stage one rather than stage four. It's, you know, nobody's getting carried away, but definitely the trends are very encouraging.
I suppose finally we should talk about, you know, when you're at stage four, obviously the cancer may have spread. Is that the real challenge? I mean, if you get it when it's only in the esophagus, can it just be fixed?
It can be fixed. And if it's stage one, it can be cured. And it's stage one is almost 100% cure rate. But unfortunately, so much is stage four. And a lot of stage four is just pure bad luck. And obviously, other types of research and new drugs, we will hope, will make some breakthroughs in that area. But the dial is shifting towards more stage one and stage two. And we all see that in Ireland. And that's great. And what the lollipops and the awareness and funding and everything that has worked positively, very positively over the last 25 years. But.
Well, for more information on Lollipop Day or to volunteer or to make a donation, go to lollipopday.ie or to ocf.ie. Professor John Reynolds, National Lead on Esophageal Cancer, Professor and Head of Surgery at Trinity College in Dublin as well. Thank you very much joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.